We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 10. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, reading from verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The Lord Jesus Christ loves his people, and he calls them to himself. He draws them by the titles he gives them, calling them his love and his fair one. He calls them to arise because they are languid without him. Apart from Christ, they are fallen. Apart from Christ, they are full of cares. They are surrounded by dangers. They are tempted to either be slothful or to be distressed, full of anxiety, tempted by the world. Is this a suitable condition for the children of the king? Is this fitting for those who are the spouse of Christ? They don't belong to the world. They have been delivered from the evil of afflictions. They are not to be sitting in despair. They should not remain in isolation. Why do they remain apart? The Lord Jesus is telling them to arise. They will not find rest apart from him. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The Lord is speaking to them. He is calling for them. And the only appropriate response is to rise up and come. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And the Lord helping us this evening, we will consider first of all the condition of believers, their condition. And secondly, the call of the Savior, his call. And thirdly, the cause of rejoicing. He calls us, if we're his people, to a springtime experience, the cause of rejoicing. So first, the condition of believers. Secondly, the call of the Savior. And thirdly, the cause of rejoicing. And you are all here hearing the voice of Christ in the outward call of the gospel. And much that is said tonight may be applied to the hearer of the gospel. Christ is calling sinners that they also would experience a springtime in their souls that will commence as soon as they believe and continue throughout the course of their lives into eternity itself. Will you not come? Christ calls you. He is calling sinners tonight. Come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we begin with, first of all, the condition of believers. They are in a relationship to Christ, united to him, in the spiritual marriage. Christ has entered into this marriage union with them. He is to them a husband. He is their redeemer. He is the beloved of the church. And he is the one who calls them, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Is Christ your beloved? You know he is your beloved if he has spoken to you. And this is the speaking that is not only outward in the gospel, but inward by his Spirit. The Lord Jesus is calling sinners outwardly through the preaching of the word, but he's also calling his people inwardly by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit accompanies the preaching of the gospel and enables the sinner to embrace the gospel, to close with Christ and receive the grace of God, the grace of salvation that he is offering to them. So as we have quoted many, many times, we will quote it again. What is effectual calling? Have you experienced this call, this effective call, this inward call, the Holy Spirit accompanying the outward call with the inward call, the effectual call, which is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. He is calling sinners, rise up. He is calling them to come. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And those who have experienced the effectual call have come. They have come to the waters of salvation. They have been enabled to drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. And the new birth, as we have said already, takes place in effectual calling. And the evidences of that regeneration are many, many evidences. The Lord gives us many marks in his word to examine ourselves by. And if we just have one or two marks, clear, solid marks, we know that we are his people. But of course, the more marks we have, the more assurance we have. Have you been enabled to cry out to God, the cry of the new birth, my God, Lord, save me? These are the elementary cries of the newborn spiritually. That is true prayer. The first thing that was mentioned of Saul of Tarsus after he was converted, behold, he prayeth. And so those who have truly come to Christ desire him. They are crying to him, Lord, save me. As the disciples in the boat said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Save us, we perish. So have you felt your perishing condition? Have you been convinced of your sin and misery in a state of sin and death and you need deliverance? Save me, I am in a perishing condition. I need deliverance from this state of sin and misery. Have you cried to the Lord from your heart? Not just because you know what to say, you say your prayers every day, but a day came when you cried from the depths of your soul, having a sense of God's wrath, and you knew you needed Christ, and you cried from the depths of your heart to him. And perhaps from that moment, you began to perceive something of the goodness of Christ, whereas before it was revelation of Christ was about a cold representation, an intellectual idea in your mind about him, and it really meant nothing in a way of a deep impression to you. But after this cry from the heart, Christ became precious to you, and sin became bitter to you. It was an evil thing and bitter to depart from God. And you knew that from experience, when you strayed away from Christ, it was a bitter experience. And you longed to return to him, return to your spiritual husband. And you desire to follow him. If you're the spouse of Christ, you cannot go long without him. The Reverend William McLean used to tell the people of God, when they were examining themselves, something to this effect, leave him if you can. But they couldn't. They can't leave Christ. There may be interruptions in their communion. There may be clouds in their experience, but they just cannot willfully, entirely, wholeheartedly leave him. They cannot, because they feel something in their souls drawing them back. They need Christ. They desire Christ. And they desire to follow him And if you desire to follow him from the heart, if you desire to love what he loves, if you desire to hate what he hates, if you have a fixed and settled purpose to leave sin and cleave to the Lord, can this be anything other than the work of grace in the heart by the Holy Spirit? And such are the spouse of Christ. If you are a believer, if you're married to Christ, you cannot be content with distance from him. If you have drifted off from him, there will be an inward longing to return to him. You cannot be satisfied with a low state spiritually, sunk in spiritual lethargy, with a lack of earnestness. Deep inside you, there will be this yearning to be restored. You cannot be satisfied until you are delivered from that low spiritual condition. Well, this is what is implied in Christ's call, this condition of being low and being distant from Christ. He says, rise up because they are low, they are sunken. They may be sunken in their consciousness, sunken deep in sadness, and there may be many things that cast down a child of God. And one of those things is sin, the reality of sin in their experience. As David said, my sin I ever see. Sin is a present reality in the experience of a child of God. And what we have to say is that if you don't see your sin, and if it's not a reality in your experience, then do you know what is happening? You are under the power of it. If you have not found sin, as Paul said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And I say this to those who may not be exercised with the reality of sin. If you don't have a sense of sin, then that is because you're under its power and it reigns over you. And you need to be delivered from the power of sin, that it would affect you, that your conscience would not only be awakened, but that you would feel sorry in your heart for that sin. But this is why believers are sad, because they see their sins and it is a reality to them and they are burdened with it. And as Isaiah cried, I am a man of unclean lips, woe is me. At one other point, he is saying, yes, the church has promised great things to them, but my leanness, where's the fruit? My sin I see. But another source of sorrow is the afflictions that God's people go through. Yes, afflictions in their own experience, maybe in their family, or personal trials, but also the afflictions that they see the church goes through. And this has an impact upon their personal experience and their personal consciousness, the fact that the church is going through trials. The church is small. And it's a dark and cloudy day spiritually. And they grieve over the afflictions of Joseph. Amos chapter 6, verse 6. The problem was there were those who did not grieve for the affliction of Joseph. They were not sad because of the trials and adversity that the people of God were going through. But the evidence of a child of God is that they are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. They see that the attacks of the world upon the church and parts of the church apostatizing and leaving the truth for worldly philosophy and lifestyles, so-called. Well, that matters to the people of God. And and the reproach of the church is a burden to them. This is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 18. And so there are many things that bring the children of God down, and the temptations that they go through personally, the fiery darts of the wicked one, tempting them to atheism, or blasphemy, and oppressing them with tormenting thoughts about their lives and even their sins. And Christ is calling his people to rise up from that discouragement. They are low in their souls with drooping spirits. He is calling them, rise up, my love. But not only are they low, the children of God may be distant. And that is implied in the call that they should come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Because in their experience, they are far from him sometimes. In a backslidden experience, perhaps, they have drifted off from him through negligence and not using the means of grace for their preservation. And the Lord Jesus is therefore calling them back. Come, the lost sheep he goes after. David himself, or the psalmist, says, I, like a lost sheep, went astray. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He felt himself go a distance from Christ, but he could not be satisfied with that. He still felt a love for the law of God. I don't forget thy commandments. It's deep, deep, deep in my heart. Lord, draw me back. And the Savior is saying, come back. Come away. Well, the children of God may be lulled asleep by the attractions of the world. And the Lord Jesus is calling them back from that spiritual drowsiness. They are not as awake to eternal things as they once were. And they are slow to respond to the cause of Christ. And they are saying, and as we have here in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 3, to the call of Christ, I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? The heart is sleeping, or rather the child of God is sleeping, but the heart is waking. So they're not completely lulled asleep. There's an inward desire to return. But the point is, the Lord Jesus is calling them from this spiritual sloth, spiritual slumber. Well then, there are times that the believer does not feel near the Lord, and the Lord Jesus is calling them to come away, come back to himself. And sometimes they're conscious of that. When they're spiritually asleep, then they may not be very conscious of that. They may be tempted at times to think all is well. And like Samson, who Delilah says, the Philistines are come upon thee, and this time his hair is cut, and he shakes himself, and he says, I will go out as at former times. And he doesn't realize that the Lord departed from him because he was spiritually asleep, or that at least that's a picture of being spiritually asleep. Sometimes the believer doesn't know that. And a trial comes and awakens them from that condition. And then they will appreciate the call of Christ. Rise up, my love, and come away. But there are times when they feel distant from the Lord and they're longing to return and they are saying, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, that he would come. Oh, that he would draw me back. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. They feel in the dark. They feel distant from him. And the Lord Jesus is saying, my love, my fair one, come away. And then they are sometimes distant from the Lord through distress, full of cares and anxieties, worrying about this and that. And they are forgetting that one thing is needful. They feel that they're in a situation as if they were suddenly in charge of everything, and that they had been commissioned to make sure the whole universe stays in order. But God has not called them to that. He is the highest. And the Lord Jesus has the book of decrees. And he has the great scroll of providence. And he will unfold it in his own time. And all the promises of the church will be fulfilled in the time that God has appointed and decreed from eternity. The Lord has purposed all things, and he will perform all things, and therefore we are to cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for us. And this condition, why should the believer remain in it, so distant from the Lord, full of distress? Why be so downcast, O my soul? Why be in that condition? The Lord Jesus is calling the believer from that condition. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Christ is calling his bride, calling the believer out of that state of negligence, out of the state of distance, despondency, whatever it is, being in a low condition spiritually or distant from the Lord. The Lord Jesus is saying, rise up, my love, and my fair one, and come away. And so we come in the second place to consider the call of the Savior. The call of the Savior. And notice that here at the beginning of verse 10, it is the church who is speaking. She says, my beloved spake and said unto me. The child of God is speaking in this verse. The believer knows when the Lord Jesus is speaking. Yes, sometimes a believer may be deaf to the calls of Christ, but there are times when the believer does not doubt that it is Christ himself speaking when he speaks in this special way, in a powerful, personal way. Here the believer is relating the fact that Christ has spoken to her personally. So it is. The Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is the beloved's voice. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. There are times when the Lord Jesus comes to them just where they are. He meets them in their experience before they are aware. Their souls are like the chariots of Amminadab. And it's the voice of the beloved. When the Lord Jesus speaks by his word and spirit, the child of God cherishes that experience. They cannot forget that once, this occasion, that the Lord spoke to them personally. My beloved spake and said unto me. It's personal. The Lord Jesus speaks to the heart, speaks to our condition, knowing exactly our case. So his speaking is personal, and it is powerful because it comes with power. It comes with effect. It's not just an interesting idea that comes in the mind. The word of Christ comes with power in the heart. As the church says in one place, his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. The word of Christ is powerful as well as sweet and precious. Have you felt yourself the word of Christ to be personal and powerful and precious? Is that not evidence that he is speaking to you in this way? But if he really is, then you can't forget it. And so the church is relating this and telling others this experience that they had. My beloved, he came to me. My beloved, he spoke to me. My beloved spake and said unto me. He spoke to even to my soul. And he said to my soul, I am thy salvation. But what does he say? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up from that low spiritual condition. Rise up from sin. Rise up from this neglect. And the Lord will heal your backsliding. That is his promise. Plead this promise. Rise up in prayer. Do not be spiritually slothful anymore, child of God. Do not be seeking the Lord while lying on your bed. As we read Song of Solomon chapter 3, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. No wonder she did not find him. When there is a slothful seeking, it's a half-hearted, slumbering kind of seeking. The Lord Jesus is saying, rise up, my love, my fair one. Seek me with all your heart. Seek me with pleading. Seek me with earnest desires. Seek me not half-heartedly, but with all your heart, and you will find me. Rise up. Rise up from spiritual sloth. Rise up from even spiritual poverty. You're mulling over your sores and your wants and what you don't have. But the Lord is telling you, rise up and embrace what he has. Come to him and he will clothe you in his glorious righteousness. Come to him and he will give you gold tried in the fire. Come to him, he will give you the true riches. He will give you himself. He will give you all of himself. He promises to be a God to you and to your children. Only come to him. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up from all your distresses, from your anxiety. The troubles that afflict the just are many in number, but the Lord is calling you so that he will deliver you from all of those afflictions eventually, and he will deliver you entirely from them, but he will even now deliver you from the evil of them, that you would not be left to despair, that you would not sink under the weight of it. He will keep you from the devil's temptations, that you not succumb to them. And he's calling you to look up. Rise up. Look up. Lift up your eyes. Perhaps that's all you can do at first. Well, start doing it. Look up to him. Our eyes are prone to look downward. Christ is saying, look upward. And look from Amana, as we find in verse 8 of the fourth chapter, he says, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Christ is inviting his church to leave those border mountains that represent the highest worldly powers. And that was between the hostile lands north of Palestine and the Promised Land. These are the much of the mountains of Lebanon, as Hermon and Shinar and Amana, and the Lord is saying, look from the top of these mountains. In other words, look above them, look from them, look up higher. These mountains are full of danger. They're mountains of leopards and lions. Rise up and look up and look to me. This world, as full of pleasure as it is, in one sense, is a perilous world. It's full of the men of the world, people of the world who may flatter one another, but behind the scenes they're devouring lions, and we all know that. They'll shake their hands on the stage and in the public arena, but they'll talk behind each other's back and do things that are questionable, compromising, and full of covetousness, as devouring lions and cunning leopards. Why then should you remain attached to this world? Look up higher. Rise above it. Come away from the men of this world whose portion is in this life only. Leave ungodly companions. Let them mind their own business if they're intent on devouring the earthly meat. You have spiritual manna. Look up to that. Feed upon higher delicacies. Now, the people of the world don't seek your real good. They want your money or your popularity, but they don't care for your soul. The Lord Jesus is saying, look from Amana, Look from these attractive mountains. Look up higher to Mount Zion. It may have been low outwardly, but it's higher spiritually, and it will rise above all the tops of all the mountains. The Lord is saying, come to the highest himself. Look to Christ who is above all. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He is calling you to himself. Draw near to him. He is calling you to superior happiness. Come to him. Come away from your cares. Yes, we have our work to do. We can't just, to use the expression, throw in the towel and leave everything behind. We have to work. But we ought not to care. We're not to be full of anxiety. The Lord is calling us to trust in him. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, and you need to choose the good part too. He's not telling us to cease working, but he is calling us to stop caring in that anxious kind of way. Be trusting in him. Rise up and come away. Come away from these troubles in your mind's anxiety. Do not remain perplexed and vexed, full of distress. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will even carry you. Come away then to him. Well, he's saying, come away. Come away from this distance from the Lord. You were not meant to be solitary. The believer is a member of the body of Christ. Perhaps the believer feels that they're just like a foot way down below, and not the hand that's higher, even the eye that's higher still. But they're all united to Christ, and they're united to one another. And the Lord is saying, abide in me. Come away to me. Keep trusting in me, and I will grant you my presence. You do not need to be in solitude. Come away and draw near, entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. Come away. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away from earthly things. Yes, we're on earth, but should our hearts cleave to the earth? No. God has given us affections. Were those affections meant to be wrapped up in the world? No. Come away. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 8, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. But Lebanon is an attractive place. It's quite useful as well. I think it was Mount Hermon that, being such a high mountain and snow-capped, the cold winds would blow down from the tops of the mountain and come right into Damascus and provide either refreshing air or cooling the waters for the hot and thirsty people. Well, yes, very useful. Still, the Lord says, come with me from Lebanon, and come from these attractive, useful mountains. In terms of your affections, look up, look higher, come higher. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Is not the church directed to this again and again? Isn't it the case that we are all prone to try to get as much happiness out of this world as we possibly can? Like Lot, a righteous man, he saw the plains of Jordan, and he thought to himself, oh, that's very pleasing. I can't wait to get over there. And then he was found in the city itself. His heart was attached too much to earth. And the Lord is calling us to come up higher. Our affections will be lifted up, the raised affections, raised up and set upon Christ. Rise up, he is saying. Raise your affections higher. Above this world, above the things of this life. And that's the danger, as James Durham has put it, that if our affections are entangled with the enjoyable things of this life, lawful things, yes, but the danger is our hearts being too taken up with them, so that our hearts are growing hot towards the earth, what happens? Our hearts will grow cold towards Christ. That's the fact of the matter. If any man love the world, and yes, that is worldly, sinful things, the love of the Father is not in him. But the same argument applies. The more our affections go out to the things of this world, the less they will go out to Christ, the things of this life, earthly things. And, of course, in the use of the things of this life, we are to use them to God's glory. The more enjoyment we get out of the things of this life, family, food, recreation, well, the more we to give God the glory for it, enjoy God in the use of these things. That's the answer. That our affections would be lifted up higher to him. Come with me from Lebanon. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Listen, friends, the Lord is calling that you would be enamored of Christ. The Master is come, Martha says to Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming into the congregation and he is calling for you. Come then, rise up from this low state spiritually. Come away from this distance and distress and perhaps even entangled affections and draw nigh to Christ. Come away, come to him. This low estate, this distance from the Lord, this care and vexation, is this what the Lord intended for his dear children? Yes, they're in a veil of tears. Yes, there are trials to go through. But did he intend that his people would just be full of distress, full of perplexity, dwelling in their minds over the problems that they face? Did he not intend something higher, something better? He is calling them to rise and come to him. He is thy Lord, worship thou him. Live for him. And it begins by trusting in him. And think about the sweet titles that he applies to his children, all to draw them, to allure them, to bring them to himself. My love, my fair one, come away. Come to me. Remember that he bought you with his blood and that you're bought with the price of the infinitely valuable blood of Christ. He is the one who has purchased his people. He was crucified for them. Think on these things. Dwell in your mind on the love of God which is manifest in Christ to draw you because he loved you. He loved you from everlasting and he therefore drew you with loving kindness by his word and by his spirit when he spoke to you, when he blessed your soul with his grace. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up. Oh yes, you need quickening for that. You cannot just get off your back and jump up spiritually. But think about his call. Rise up. Pray that you would feel again the power of the Lord enabling you to rise up spiritually. Yes, you say, my soul cleaveth to the dust. You're not content with that, are you? But pray then, quicken thou me according to thy word. And what is his word? He is telling you to rise up. But he also promises to enable you to come. He will raise his people. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He is there. He raises his people up. And he makes them sit in heavenly places together with himself. And he is saying, come away. Come. When the believer comes to Christ, what is it? It's faith. It's trusting in the Lord. It's the heart closing with Christ. And when a person truly comes to Jesus, they come to peace. It is then that they experience safety. It is when they are looking to Jesus and coming to Christ in their souls are going to him, that they are then supported and they're kept from sinking lower. They are then rising. That's when they will rise, when they look to Jesus. Yes, when they hear his word, when they know that he is their Lord, they themselves will rise up by his grace, but they feel it with their souls, and they're not thinking, oh yes, the Spirit is working. They feel they need to come to Christ, and they say, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I know I love him, and I will seek him now. Enough of this spiritual lethargy. I will rise now in obedience to his command. Rise, for the Master calleth thee. And so, as Jonah himself said, when he was in darkness, in the belly of the whale, he said, I will look again to thy holy temple. I will look. Do not tell me not to look. Don't tell me that I need to wait for a special influence of the Spirit. I will look again to thy holy temple. Yes, and of course it's the Holy Spirit inwardly, secretly producing those inward desires deep within the soul, so that the child of God says, I will rise now. So, friend, focus upon him and look to him till you're filled with awe of him and love to him, knowing that he's calling you. Yes, he's calling the believer anew. He's calling the sinner who has no grace to come. Pray then that he would quicken you and you would come. Hear his call. Rise, for he calleth you. Hear his call. And rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away and listen to what he calls you to, what the cause of rejoicing is. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. So, in the third place, the cause of rejoicing. Why does the Lord call his people? What does he call them to? When is it that he calls them? It is when the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. And this is what he calls them to. The flowers appear on the earth. It is this time when the singing of birds has come. It is to a springtime experience in their souls. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. Winter is a time of danger. The roads are icy. The rivers are perhaps swelling, impassable. And the Lord Jesus says, pray that your flight would not be in winter time. It will be very difficult for you to travel that time. But he is telling his people and to everyone who believes, lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The winter of the wrath of God is over for everyone who believes. To everyone who comes to Christ, the wrath of God is gone. Why? Because Christ absorbed it. He is the propitiation for our sins, the apostle says. A propitiation is the means of turning away the wrath of God, and he turns away the wrath of God because he takes it all himself. And so we're to rest upon him. God's wrath is turned away. There is nothing but his favor. Yes, in his favor is life. And the Lord is calling his people from the winter of coldness towards him. Yes, too long they've been in a dull state spiritually. So by his call, and when they do come to him, he warms their hearts. Apart from him, they remain icy. We read in Psalm 147 that he casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? The wintertime experience in their consciousness, they feel cold. They cannot be content with that. But the Lord is saying, come. The winter is past. That's what he calls you to. That if you come to him, you will experience the melting influences of his Spirit. He sendeth his word, we read, and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the Spirit's flow. When he calls you by his word and Spirit, and you're obeying that call, and you come to him, he will melt your heart. He will draw you in love. You will have a holy hatred of your past negligence and your spiritual drowsiness, and you will say, where have I been? Oh, to be near him and abide with him. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The storms are past. The rain in which you cannot get much done because it's cloudy and dreary. The children are looking up out the windows and they cannot go outside and play. The doorsteps, there's the patter on the doorsteps because of the rain that will not seem to stop. But the Lord is saying to all those who come to him, the rain is over and gone. The storms are over. Yes, there may be troubles, there may be afflictions, but remember in Christ, those distresses and tribulations are conquered. The Lord has conquered them for us, and he makes us more than conquerors through him who loves his people. All of these things, these trials and afflictions, all this adversity, so that the child of God is tempted, like Jacob, to think, all these things are against me. They're not against us. That's where faith comes in, to believe the word of God. They're not against us. They are for us. And God will help us go through them. And they will all be transformed as means of sanctification, drawing us closer to the Lord and to see his marvelous hand in helping his people through it. These are the promises of Christ. The winter is past, the rain is over and gone. We may be tempted to think there's a storm coming, and we have little ground for that thought. We may think, oh no, it's another trial and it's going to be the worst one. It may not be. We cannot predict the future. But whatever we meet with, as James Durham puts it, the Lord Jesus Christ has made all fair weather ere he call. He's made all fair weather before he calls us. Yes, he calls us to fight. Yes, he calls us to press on through storms. But the other view of it, the other view of the Christian life, is that it's a feast. Let us therefore keep the feast, because Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He is saying the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. He does not call us to fight, but to gather spoil, as Durham puts it. He does not put believers to the sea until he himself hath made all things calm. Believers meet with blasts and storms sometimes, but when is that? It's most often when their back is toward Christ and it's not toward him. The wind of wrath, he says, is not in the sinner's face that seeketh Jesus, but the word saith to such, fear not, ye seek him. As the angel said to Mary and the women at the tomb, just after the earthquake, and the angel had rolled away the stone, and the soldiers were frightened and as dead men, they were so scared. The angel says to the women, fear not ye. You don't need to fear, like these soldiers, trembling because of the earthquake and the angel. You don't need to fear, because you seek Jesus, which was crucified. You're looking to a crucified Savior who has secured peace for every believer. And so the rain is over and gone. We're to look to the sunny side, to look to him who is the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. The storm of vengeance is past. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God is calling sinners. Yes, you today, and I'm speaking to the whole congregation now. He is ready to be reconciled. He is a God reconciled in Christ, and therefore come to him looking to Jesus, and the storm of wrath will be over and gone in your experience. Christ has turned away the wrath of God for every believer. And he's saying, do not be discouraged. Cast off excuses. Come unto me. Enjoy the grace that he has purchased. And look to his face that shines. The psalmist was asking the Lord, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. And Christ is calling us to this experience. The winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. Here's the sunbeams upon the valley that is causing the plants to flourish and the flowers of grace to appear. And that is a picture of Christ warming the heart and drawing out the graces of the soul produced by the Spirit. And this is what the Lord Jesus is calling his people to. Rise up, come away to this wonderful experience. How this should stir up believers to come to him, to listen to his call, and come. The time of the singing of birds has come. And so it's a picture of springtime and cheer, a time of refreshing, a time of joy. When believers change their sad note, and begin to praise the Lord from their heart, and whilst previously they're sinking under fears, and now they're singing to the Lord, offering the fruit of their lips, the praise to his name, so that even after a backslidden condition, after negligence and sloth, wherever that may be, that the Lord speaks comfortably to the soul and draws the heart, as we read in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 4:14, the Lord is causing the soul to sing again. I will allure her, he says, and bring her into the wilderness, yes, to show her her sins, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He will cause his people to rejoice again. They are sad and distressed, but listen to his call. Rise up, my love, my fair one. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And it's and summer is coming on. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Or rather, before that, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Again, that is speaking of peace. Christ has secured peace for believers. The dove is a symbol of peace. The storm is over. God's wrath is removed. And it's the gospel of peace that he is calling his people to, so that they will say, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. We experience peace. The Lord Jesus has promised this peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If our hearts are full of trouble, there's something wrong. We're called to rise up and come away, looking to Jesus, because he made peace through the blood of his cross. And the fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Remember, the Lord said that when the fig tree putteth forth the leaves, and this would be accompanied with figs as well, and then summer is near, even at the door. So it's bringing before us this renewing of strength, that God's people are being quickened and they're enabled to go forward in their experience. Out of weakness, they are made strong, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell, speaking of grace that is now thriving by the operation of the Holy Spirit. The tender grape, a picture perhaps of the tender heart that is careful about sin, that is also carefree in regard to distresses and worries and anxieties, because they are enabled to cast their cares upon Him. See what the Lord Jesus is calling us to. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. The vines with the tender grape give a good smell. You see how the desires of the heart going out to Christ in their prayers are pleasing to Him. It's like incense rising up before the eyes of the Lord. It's a good smell of the tender grape. Notice how the Lord Jesus repeats this call. He says at the beginning, the church says, "My beloved spake and said unto me," and so he says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And he concludes the call with the same invitation, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." He repeats the titles, he repeats the call. It shows his compassion to his children, that they, through their own infirmities and even tempted to unbelief, they are sometimes dull and do not respond to that call as they should. So he calls them again. He repeats the invitation, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." It also shows his desire for their fellowship. He wants to have communion with them. He wants to hear their voice. He loves to hear their prayers and their cries and their meditations, and to see their hearts go out to him. He says, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And he says to his children, "O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice." He wants his children to rise up and come, because he wants to hear their voice. "For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Have you heard his voice? Well, if so, he will hear your voice, and you will say, "Draw me. Yes, Lord, I desire to come to thee." There are three occasions, perhaps we could say, of Christ calling his people. And one is regeneration, when they are converted, and he calls them for the first time in their experience. He enables them to come to answer his call. There is the call of restoration, when he heals their backsliding. He says, "Rise up and come from that spiritual condition. Rise up and come from that coldness and remissness. Rise up and come from all of that spiritual declension. Rise and come away to me." So that's the call of restoring. But also there's the call of the resurrection, when God's people will hear his voice on that day. They will awake from their graves. They will rise from them, when death will be abolished. The winter of a long sleep in the grave will be over, and it will be with them, body and soul, an eternal summer, when they hear his voice, "Arise from the dead, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away to heaven. The Lord has promised, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Come away, rise up, and come away with me. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Here is the call of Christ, calling his believers, "Rise up and come," but calling sinners also. As Durham puts it, the voice of the turtle is still heard in our land. The gospel is still proclaimed. The sound of the good news of salvation is still heard. All of you are hearing the gospel, Christ inviting you to come. Come to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Here in your soul shall live. The sinner outside of Christ is being called to come to Christ, to rely on Christ, to submit to him and his righteousness and his law. And it's a wonderful law. It's a perfect law of liberty. It's calling you to blessedness, calling you to bliss and happiness and joy. Should this not attract you? Should this not draw you? Oh, pray then that the call would come with power, that it would work internally and draw you to himself, that you would obey that call and come to him. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. Arise from spiritual death. No longer lie there in the grave of spiritual coldness and death, but come to me. Oh, are you hearing that call at all? Is there any faint desires within you? Then say, Lord, draw me all the more. Oh, that you would not rest till you know that you have closed with him, that he is your Savior, that you are his spouse, the bride of Christ, in that spiritual marriage, that loving eternal union, where when the soul consents to close with Christ as all my salvation and all my desire, then the eternal match and union is made. As Rebecca answered the call, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. May he bless his word. Let us pray.